Hello? Is anybody out there? Hello? 1 John, chapter 3, verses 23, 24. Years ago, I finished a message on a Sunday morning. I walked to the back of the church like I normally do. And a lady, as a member of the church, Connie Brown, her husband's Jim Brown. Does anybody in here know Jim Brown? Connie Brown. I can't believe that. I thought he was world famous. Connie Brown stopped back there and talked to me. She said, "Brother Ed, Scott, who is her grandson, at the time he was about 12. Now, Scott's grown, got his own family now. But at the time he was about 12, she said, Scott has decided he wants to be a preacher. And she was so proud. And she said, "Brother Ed," so I was just boiling over with pride, and I asked him, why did he want to be a preacher? She said, "I thought he was going to say something like, well, I just want to make a difference in people's lives. I want to see people grow closer to the Lord. I want to see people get saved." But here's what he said. "I want to be a preacher because I only have to work 2 days a week." Little did he know, brother. I said that to say this. There is even a lot of adults, a lot of Christian adults, that still believe that. That a preacher's got it made, he only works 2 days a week. That is the farthest thing from the truth. Now, and so the reason I said all that is to say this. Our pastor, Brother Kevin, called and asked me if I would fill in for him tonight, that he needed to be over at the Awana program. Now, I don't know whether that's where he's at or not, because I haven't seen him this evening. But that was the plan. And what some people don't realize is whatever program is going on in the church, the pastor is a part of it. Now you figure all the people that's working in the church in different programs, they only have to worry about that one program. The pastor has to worry about all of those programs because he is the under-shepherd that God has placed here at this church. So he is going to give an account one day. That's something else some people don't understand, is that pastors and preachers, when they get to heaven, they're going to give an account of what was taught during their time as he allowed them to be an under-shepherd at a certain church. They're going to answer for that. So it's important for a pastor to be involved in different programs. And that's what Brother Kevin wanted to do tonight. He told me when he talked to me on the phone, while he was on his way to the hospital, by the way, at about, it must have been about 8 or 8:30 at night, he was going to the hospital to visit someone. And he called me on his way to ask me if I'd fill in tonight because he felt like he needed to go over there and see how the Awana program was progressing because it was going on a Sunday night when he was usually preaching and he couldn't be there. So that's where your pastor is tonight. Some of you probably just now woke up and said, "Well, that's not Brother Kevin up there." Bless your heart. First John chapter 3, we want to read verses 23 and 24. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us to be here in this place and gather together so that we can look at your word. Father, as we look at this word tonight, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal it to all of our hearts as you'd have it to be. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'd see the things that you'd have us to see in this blessed word. We pray, Father, that each and every one of us would clear our minds from the clutter of the world. And we pray, Lord, that we'd all be here tonight with open minds and open hearts that we could receive your word.
Father, we're going to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for everything that's said and done, because we prayed it in that most blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm going to do some more reading here tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and apologize to begin with, because I've been having, some of you have been praying for me, I've been having some trouble with my right eye. The eye doctor's telling me that it's something that happens to all old people. I'm finding out, Brother Terry, getting old's not for sissies, brother. But what is going on is your retina is in the back of your eye, and there's some type of film in front of your retina, and as you get old, that film turns to liquid and it turns loose from your retina. Well, in my case, it's not wanting to turn loose so easy. It's pulling my retina from the back of my eye, and the doctor's watching it about every 6 weeks or so. And it's pulling the retina from the back of the eye is not what is so scary. It's if it tears, that's when there's an issue and that's when there's a problem. But right now, with my retina pulled away from the back of my eye, when I look at something in my left eye, if it looks this big, my right eye, it looks about that big. So right now, my right eye is arguing with my left eye, and they're having a big discussion because it makes it hard to focus. So just bear with me. But what I want to talk to you tonight is about real love. This next week, we're going to be celebrating Valentine's. That's coming up Thursday, fellas. Y'all can thank me later. That's coming up on Thursday. So I thought it'd be a really good time to take this opportunity tonight to talk about real love. Now, Valentine's is celebrated pretty much all over the world. And the tradition of celebrating Valentine's started in about the 2nd or 3rd century. Now, here in the 21st century, it has turned out that Valentine's is all about flowers and candy and jewelry and Hallmark cards. As a matter of fact, I heard on the news just this week, Mark, and you need to listen to this, that the average person spends about $300 on Valentine's. You can thank me later, Donna. Debbie, I apologize right now because yours are probably going to be a little less than that. Flowers, candy, jewelry, and cards is what it has come down to. Valentine's Day has turned out to be a gold mine for those flower shops and candy shops and card shops and jewelry shops. But the bottom line is, church, we have distorted the word love in this country. We have distorted that word. And it is all about the material things, the flowers and the candy. And it goes farther than that. The big fancy cars and the big nice houses. We use the word love in so many wrong ways. I love this, or I love that, or I love my car, I love my tractor. You got to know me to understand that. But we've got to the point in this country where we have distorted the word love. It's all about lust and sex and selfishness and what can I get out of it. That is what it has become in this country. And folks, I'm telling you tonight, that is a counterfeit type love. And it comes directly from the devil himself. But it is running rampant across this country. And it is not of God. It is not of God. This type of love will never, ever last. It will not last. I think this is why that we see so many people in this country that is so unhappy. We live in the richest country on the face of the earth. We have everything at the tip of our finger, at the touch of our hands. We have everything that we could ever want and ever desire. But we are unhappy as a nation. Divorce rates in this nation are over 60%. That's in the first marriage. When you get in the second, third marriage, it gets up around 75%. And the sad part of that is that it's no different in the church than it is outside the church. There's no difference in the statistics. That's one thing I've always done is I've been a statistic freak. I look at all the polls and all the statistics, but the statistics will tell us that the divorce rate inside the church is as high as it is outside the church. That tells me that even Christians are looking for the wrong kind of love, looking in the wrong places. I've got some kinfolks, Debbie and I do. And I'm not going to elaborate on that. But the young man is always, seems like he's always got the wrong woman. And he's went through women like crazy. And then when you get to thinking about it, when you're picking them up in some shady places to start with, and I'm not going to go any deeper into that. I think you got the point. Even the word Cupid is a Greek word, and in the Greek it is eros. And it means a type of love that is physical. It's a love with strings attached, a self-seeking, self-gratifying love. And it will not last. Dating sites on the internet are a multi-million dollar a year business. Now, don't get me wrong. There's one, you hear one every once in a while that they've been married for 20 years and things are going great. But I'll tell you this much, for every one that went great, there's hundreds that went south. And the reason people are looking on the internet, they're looking for the wrong kind of love. They're looking in the wrong places. We live in a society that we want what we want, and we want it right now. We want it now. So instead of getting on their knees when you're looking for a mate and praying for the Lord to send that right person, folks, I used to teach teenagers in Sunday school. And I'd always encourage them to every day get down on their knees and pray for their future mate. Some of them look at me like I had two heads. Say, Brother Ed, I'm not even dating. I said, God already knows. God knew before you were ever born who He has for you. Now, the way it gets messed up is when we run ahead of God. If you will get on your knees and pray every day for your future mate, your future spouse, and if you will be patient, God will send that person. But the problem that we get into, that we have twisted the word love around, and it don't mean what God meant for it to mean, and it's all about me, and it's all about what I can get out of it, and I want it, and I want it now. Kind of sounds like me, Scott, when I pray for patience. Lord, give me patience. Give it to me right now. I want it now. That's one of our problems in this nation. We have lost our patience. We are not looking for God to send us the right kind of love in our lives. The love that God wants you and I to possess is a sacrificial love that'll stand the test of time. As a matter of fact, God's love is the Greek word agape love. And it means the purest, truest kind of love. It means selfless and sacrificial. It is unconditional. And it is a forever love. I'll tell you this. I don't think she'll mind me saying it. Melissa, my oldest daughter, she said something one day, and then after she thought about it, she thought it really hurt me and hurt my feelings, and she came to apologize. And she said, said that she didn't want my feelings hurt. She didn't mean to hurt me, and she loved me. And I said, Melissa, you listen to me when I tell you this. You're my daughter. And no matter what you do, no matter what you say, I have unconditional love for you. That's the kind of love that our Father in heaven has for us. That's the kind of love that God wants us to show to other people. I think every one of us in this room would have to say, Brother Ed, that is the type of love I want in my life. I want that kind of love that comes from God. That's what brought me to the verses that we read earlier, and I want to look at them again, if you would, with me. Verse 23, 1 John chapter 3. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. There's three things that I see going on in that one verse. The first thing that we are told is that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Folks, if you believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, he's talking about saved people. That's who he's talking about right here in this verse. He's talking about you and I. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this verse is for you. It's just like the Apostle John is standing right here on this stage tonight, and he's talking to you. Now remember, the Apostle John was the one that Jesus loved. The Apostle John was with Jesus for 3 years. He was with him every single day for 3 years. He walked with Jesus. He listened to Jesus' teachings. And now he is teaching us through this word. He's talking to Christians. That's the first thing I see. The second thing I see, he says that we are commanded to love one another. Brother Kevin touched on that a little bit this morning in his message. He said something to the fact that if you're not about love, you're not of the church. I don't know whether y'all caught that or not, but since I had been studying this message, it just kind of jumped out at me. If you're not of love, you're not a part of the church. Because we are commanded to love one another. Even when it's not easy. Even when it's hard. You got to love one another. I think that is another issue in this nation. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. I think this is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I thank God on a regular basis for allowing me to be a part. You realize that you could have been born halfway around the world? You could have been born in Africa or you could have been born anywhere. But God seemed fit to allow each and every one of us to be born in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I think it's the greatest nation on the face of the earth. But we are losing the ability to love one another even when it's hard. And you don't have to look very far to understand that. All you got to do is look at the evening news about how the politicians have got so far apart that they can't hardly even stand to look at each other. And it goes right on down to my and your neighborhoods. But God has commanded us. You know, a command is not a suggestion. We're not suggested to love one another. We are commanded as one of God's children. We are commanded to love one another. And that's the three things that I see. First off, he's talking to Christians. Second, we are to love one another. And third, it is a commandment. In the New Testament, over 55 times we are commanded to to love one another. Over 55 times. You know, if somebody tells you something once, it may be important, may not. If they say something twice, you probably need to perk your ears up. If they said something three times, you better get really interested. Now, my dad took a whole different approach. If he told you something one time, you best be listening, because the second time, you wished you had. But God is so patient with us, he has told us over 55 times, commanded us to love one another. Then he goes on in verse 24 and says, he that keeps his commandments, that number one commandment is to love one another, dwells in him and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, immediately God's Holy Spirit moves in and dwells in us. Immediately. Now, that is what it takes to be able to love unconditionally. That's what it means. That's what it takes so that we can have an unconditional, sacrificial love for other people. Because in the flesh, we can't do that. Because in the flesh, we are selfish people. We are selfish beings. So the secret ingredient to love sacrificially and not selfishly is God's Holy Spirit. And the Bible is telling us that once we are saved, that God's Holy Spirit indwells in us, and we know that we're saved. One of the ways that we know we're saved is because we have love for other people. I hope you get that. I hope you understand what verse 24 is a very important verse. It helps us understand that God's own Holy Spirit, a part of the triune of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, this is so far above human understanding that I can't even start to explain it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all different, but they're all one. Figure that one out. But they all have different jobs, I guess you could say. The Holy Spirit is to indwell in us and give us that still small voice from inside to nudge us in the direction we should be going. And all the time, the devil's standing on the other shoulder, jumping up and down, screaming, don't go that way. But God's Holy Spirit is so loving and so patient, he's saying, no, you need to love that person. Yeah, but look what they did. Look what they're doing. God says, you need to love them anyway. Love them anyway. That's what verse 24 is trying to tell us. That we need to keep his commandment, which is the main one, is to love others. And if we do that, we know that his Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. We know that for a fact. So the only way to have that true, sincere, selfless, unconditional love is if we know we have God's Holy Spirit indwelling in us. When we get that love, that is a love that will last for eternity. A love that is for others when they're hard to love. I know sometimes even our spouses get a little hard to love sometimes. You know, they snore. They squeeze the toothpaste tube right in the middle. Amen. I knew I'd get one on that. Must be a woman thing, brother. But you got to love them anyway. You got to love them anyway. It's an unconditional love. That's another reason that we see so many divorces in this country. We've got to the point where we want things and we want it instantly and we want it our way. And the first little bitty thing that happens in a marriage, you're ready to
forget the commitment that they made when they stood in front of a pastor or whoever and made that commitment to each other, till death do us part. Till death do us part. Debbie and I have been married 45 years. And I plan on sitting on my front porch with her when I'm 85 years old. That's where I plan to be. Because I was just thinking today that when I draw my last breath on the face of this earth, that is the face I want to be looking at. It's got to be an unconditional love, and it's got to be one that lasts. And the only way that we as human beings can do that is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and love with the Holy Spirit's help, showing us the way that we should love like God. If you got your Bible still open, if you would, look in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Talking about a pure love. The Bible says, herein is love, or this is the definition of love. That's what it's saying. Herein is love. This is the definition of love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Boy, that's a big old word, propitiation. That is a Latin-based word. And it means to pay the price for someone else or pay their consequences. Let's say I committed some heinous crime, which I didn't. I didn't do it. But let's say I did some heinous crime and I got life in prison. I'm going to spend the rest of my life in an 8x8 cell. And the judge dispronounced my sentence. And I'm sitting here thinking, Lord, I'm going to spend the rest of my life. I'm doomed. I'm done. And Scott steps up and says, Judge, I'm going to take Ed's place. Turn him loose. Whew. Thank you, Scott. You need to be at Hamilton County Jail on Monday morning. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what propitiation means. That someone else paid my price. That's exactly what Jesus did. God loved me so much that He searched through heaven, found the best that was there. Jesus Christ. His only Son. Talking about love, there's no better verse in the Bible than John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. He sent Jesus Christ down here to this world to be beaten, to be spat upon, to be stuck on a cross, nailed to a cross, and gave His life for me, because that was the sin debt. It required a blood sacrifice. Talk about love. That is how much God loves you and I. That's how much He loves us. He wants us to have the same love for others. We can't possibly do it unless we're living in the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, let me say this. I really believe that there are Christians that are not living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason we see so many busted churches and broken churches. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but that's the reason that, especially in our area, there's a church on every corner. Because somewhere along the line, the church members in this church couldn't get along this side, couldn't get along with that side. And they took off and they built their own church. Well, then guess what? A few years down the road, that side couldn't get along with that side, and the middle couldn't get along with nobody, and they had to go build another church. Because even as Christians, if we are not living under the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, we're still not going to have that agape love that God is talking about. That's the reason it's so important that we live under God's leadership and God's guidance, and we stay up close to God, and we read His Word, and we stay on our knees, and we pray, and we look for God's leadership and God's guidance in our lives. And when we do that, we will automatically have God's love in our lives. It'll just come naturally. Last thing I want to do is I want to look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 through 21, talking about God's love. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, in other words, whosoever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, God dwells in them. That's what we were just talking about. We got God's Holy Spirit inside of us, and He in God. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. Matter of fact, over in chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible tells us again, for God is love. God's very character is love. God is love. Verse 16, and he that dwells in love, talking about us, dwells in God. Again, the only way we can have that sacrificial love, that unconditional love that God wants us to have, is through God's Holy Spirit. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. We can have boldness in the day of judgment. Kevin touched on that a little bit this morning when he was talking about Jesus was telling His disciples all about what was going to happen in the last days, and it's ugly. Folks, if you go over and you read in the book of Revelation and you read over there, I don't know, starting somewhere around chapter 6 or so, and you start reading about all the things that's going to happen to this world, it is ugly. Matter of fact, at one point in time, it tells us that men are going to go crawl up in the caves and pray for the rocks to fall on them. It's so bad. It's going to be nasty, horrendous. But if you are saved, you can go to that judgment, and you can go through this life, and you can go through, well, of course, you won't have to go through all that, because Kevin also touched on that this morning. There's people that are pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. I think Kevin said he might have been mid-tribulation. I don't know. I may be wrong about that. And I can go along with that. Personally, I'm pre-tribulation. I believe that God's going to rapture us out of here. I believe He's going to rapture. The Bible tells us we will not be, appointed to His wrath. But if you believe something different, that's okay. I still love you. And because of this message, you got to love me. So there. But it's going to be pretty ugly. And then we're going to be raptured out of here. And then one day there's going to be judgment where everybody has to stand in front of God. Kevin talked about that this morning. The books are going to be open. The ones that all the people that are not saved is going to be judged out of. And then the book is going to be open. One. The Lamb's Book of Life, that's where your name's going to be written if you've accepted Jesus Christ. Your name is already in heaven. And you can stand there boldly because we're not going to have to answer for all the bad things we did in this life. Don't look at me with those righteous eyes. You've done something. The Bible tells me all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. All means all. It don't miss anybody. But we can stand there with boldness, according to what that verse told me right there. We can stand on the day of judgment with boldness because we know that Jesus Christ's blood has covered every sin that we have ever committed. And God is going to have to tell us, come on in, my good and faithful servant. Woo!
Folks, that day is coming as sure as I'm standing right here. That day is coming. Whew, makes me want to shout. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. That's the love of God. That's the perfect love. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We love God because he first loved us. We just talked about that. If any man say, I love God, listen to this. Folks, this is serious stuff right here. It says, if any man says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. That's serious. If we say we love God, and we hate our brother. Now, folks, you might be sitting there thinking, ooh, I got out of that. I don't even have a brother. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about whoever you come in contact with. Whoever you come in contact with. They are either a brother or sister in Christ, or they have the potential to be a brother or sister in Christ. If any man says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. In other words, you can't love God if you don't love your brothers, if you don't love other people, if you don't have compassion. For he that love not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment, here we go again, this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. Folks, what I want to close with tonight, Scott, if you want to come and get a song ready. What I want to close with tonight, if you want to have a true love for other people, if you want to be able to have that unconditional love, if you want to have that relationship with your spouse, and as I look out among us, congregation tonight, I see a lot of married folks in here. We need to be up close to God if you want it to work. It don't matter what the situation is. It don't matter what the problem is. It don't matter what the issue is. If you stay up close to the Lord, your spouse stays up close to the Lord, the devil cannot separate that union. I know some of you in here may not have been married as long as Debbie and I have. We've been through some things in our lives. And I'm sure that if you've been married very long, you've been through some issues in your marriage. But only with God's help can it endure to the end. Only with God's help. And some of you younger folks, I want to tell you this. Yeah, Debbie and I have been married 45 years, but it takes work now. And I'm sure that some of you maybe that's been married longer than that would tell me, Brother Ed, it always takes work. And a marriage does. It takes work. And to have that perfect love, even when they're squeezing the toothpaste tube in the middle, you can love them through God's leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. It always takes the leadership and guidance of God's Holy Spirit for us to have the kind of love that God wants us to have. If you'll stand to your feet tonight. Amazing grace.